word this morning. Let's join together in a word of prayer. Father, again, we thank you for this time we have to gather here. We thank you for all the ways you've been at work this morning. We thank you for this time of worship that we've had. And now, Father, as we hear from your word this morning, I pray for open hearts. Holy Spirit, would you come? Would you reveal truth? Father, may we see your grace in this passage as we talk about gifts, talents, abilities, responsibility. Father, most of all, may we keep our eyes on Jesus this morning. That's what you call us to do. So, Father, I pray that every word that proceeds from my mouth would bring honor and glory to you. In Jesus' name, amen. While the holiday season is upon us, believe it or not, right, 1 month from today, it's Christmas Eve, and I don't know about for anyone else, but it feels like Christmas always sneaks up so fast, and for many of us, a little extra cash is kind of handy this time of year, right? It's nice to buy presents for those we love. Sometimes we might get a present for those we kind of like, right? It's a season of giving, so we're supposed to give. So I came across this article, and the tagline was this: you might be sitting on a gold mine. You might be sitting on a gold mine. So this article talked about items we have stashed away in our closets, in our basements, in our attics, and we think these items have no value. However, antique collectors will find value in these items. Here are some of these items. You might have some lying around in your house, maybe basement, attic, closet. First one is this: a Windsor-style armchair. Now, it's got to be Windsor style, but this can be worth from $150 up to several hundred dollars. So take care of those chairs. They could be worth some value. Coin banks, all right? Now, some of these hold your pocket change, but they could also be worth a lot, especially if a coin bank has a mechanical feature. I didn't know coin banks had that. So if it's antique looking, kind of like the picture, if it has a mechanical feature, you could be in luck because that could be worth up to $2,500. Pretty nice payday, right? Cereal boxes, all right? Special edition boxes of cereal that are no longer in production could earn you big bucks, several hundred dollars, especially if you never opened the cereal. So if you have that box, 40 years old, sitting in your house, don't eat the cereal, but hey, that box could be worth some good money. And finally, my favorite, the vintage toy goat. All right, this is what the article says. While unmarked, your adorable goat is likely a German-made pull toy, imported to the United States during the early 1900s. Except for its disintegrated horns and missing pull string, this toy appears to be in excellent condition, which keeps his value and charm high. So this goat, even with disintegrated horns, could be worth $600. So hold on to those stuffed animal kids, right? Because they could be worth some serious cash someday. Well, this morning we are wrapping up our sermon series on the parables. And we're looking at a well-known parable. A lot of us are familiar with it. It's the parable of the talents. And what we're going to talk about is how God has entrusted to us different gifts, different abilities, different responsibilities for us to use for his purposes. Now, the mistake we often make as God's people is that we don't realize the value, the importance of what God has entrusted to us. Kind of like those items hidden away in our closet or maybe in our basement. We're like, there's no purpose in that. There's no value to it. I'm just going to let it sit and rot until maybe throw it away or until it disappears. But again, not realizing the importance, the value that item might have. And please hear me this morning. What God has entrusted to us, what he's given us, it is of extreme value. We must manage it carefully. So let's look at our text for today from Matthew 25. The parable is found in verses 14 through 30. Now, if you would stand as I read from God's word, I'm not going to read the whole parable to start. I'm going to read a few verses, and then we'll talk, and I'll come back to more of the parable later. But Matthew 25, beginning in verse 14, you can follow in your Bibles or on the screens up ahead this morning. For it will be like a man going on a journey. This is Jesus talking to his disciples now. Okay, so that's the context of the parable. Who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. You may be seated. So here Jesus is telling this story. He's telling this parable. Now, it's important for us to understand. This will help us to really apply the parable to our lives. Jesus is the master in the story. Okay, and we, as followers of Jesus, we are the servants. So remember that as we walk through the parable. Now the master, he's going on this journey. And so he calls his servants and entrusts to them his property. And he gives each servant some talents. Now, it was common practice during the time of Jesus for wealthy men to delegate the control and multiplication of their wealth to trustworthy employees. And so as Jesus is telling the story, the disciples would have probably been like, okay, yeah, I've heard something like this before. This makes sense. Now, a talent was a significant amount of money. Most scholars believe that a talent equaled about 20 years' worth of wages. So think about that. Take what you make in 1 year, all right? Add in the 1/3 that you give to Uncle Sam, right? So take what you make before taxes. Now multiply that times 20. That's a sizable amount of cash, even for the servant who just received 1 talent. So the master, he entrusted a great amount of responsibility into the servant's care. Now he didn't give. He entrusted. There's a difference. By entrusting, the master still owned what was given. And there was no doubt in the minds of these servants that the property and money still belonged to the master. They were the possessors, but they were not the owners. And they understood that their job was to manage what they were given. And if we, as God's people, as citizens of his kingdom, if we're going to be faithful stewards of what he's given us, we must remember that ultimately we don't own anything. Really? Yeah, we don't. We don't own it. But I worked so hard for that. I mean, Pastor Ben, I saved for years to buy that house or that car that I really, really, I don't own that. Listen to Psalm 24. It says this, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world, and all who live in it." You see, our days are in God's hands. Our gifts and abilities are on loan from him. Our money is in advance from the Almighty. And we have 2 options when it comes to those things that God has entrusted to us. We can have an open-handed mindset, thinking, all right, God, everything I have is ultimately yours. You've given it to me to use for your purposes, to bring glory to you. So God, help me in that. Or we can have a closed-handed mindset in which you think, boy, God, the owner, I don't know. I worked hard for this, man. I deserve this. This is mine. I'm just going to use it as I please. And please hear me. If we come to God with a closed-handed mindset when it comes to the things he has entrusted to us, we will not be good managers of what he's given us. Until we recognize that all that we have belongs to him, we will not be faithful stewards. And so again, the master entrusted a great amount of responsibility into the servant's care. He gives one of them 5 talents, another 1 2, and the final servant, he gives 1 talent. Now, the amount that was given is not what's ultimately important, because we can misinterpret this parable and think, man, 5 talents? Boy, would I be the 5-talent guy? Maybe not 5, but maybe I'd be maybe 3.5 talents I would be given, right? Or others of us might think, boy, I don't even know if I'm a 1-talent person. Maybe I'm more like a 1/2-talent, maybe a 1/4-talent, right? And so we can start playing this game, like how many talents would I get? But that's not the point. Here's the point. Again, the amount that was given is not ultimately what matters. What matters is that each servant was given the same responsibility. Let me say that again. The amount that was given is not ultimately what matters. What matters is that each servant was given the same responsibility to make the most of what the master had given. All right, let's keep reading. Picking up in verse 19. Now, after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here I have made 5 talents more.'" So this guy was sharp. "His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' And he also who had the 2 talents came forward saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here I have made 2 talents more.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.'" Now here comes some trouble. "He also who had received the 1 talent came forward saying, 'Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours.' But his master answered him, 'You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I scatter no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest.'" Now again, what's important for us to understand is that each servant was given the same responsibility, right? To make the most of what the master had given. Now we find that 2 servants were faithful and 1 was unfaithful. The first 2 servants, they're wise stewards of what God had given them. They served their master faithfully. They doubled what was entrusted to them, and the master honors them for that. But the 3rd servant, he was unfaithful. He did not fulfill the responsibility that had been given him, and he is condemned for his actions. Now, I gotta be honest. As I've read this parable in the past, and even as I began studying and reading through it, I kind of felt bad for the 1 talent servant. Because it seems kind of unfair how he's treated, right? I mean, what if he's just not business savvy? Not all of us are. Maybe he's like, "Man, I can't double like these other guys have done what was given to me, so maybe I'm gonna play it safe." Right? Not all of us are smart business-wise. I remember years ago, it's like over 10 years ago now, Amy and I were invited to be a part of a business venture. So I was working at another church at the time, and it was one of those kind of, remember the old Amway, right? And kind of one of those pyramid schemes. Now some of those things work well. Some people can make some good money. There's great products. But this one that Amy and I were invited to, it was a train wreck from the beginning. And so this pastor whom we trusted and some other friends came and said, "Hey, you got to be a part of this. It's a great side income, especially for those who are in ministry." And so we didn't really pray about it. That was probably our mistake, right? So we just joined and we had to put some money down and you got to buy these products and you got to get a team. We had to get 3 other people to join our business and we couldn't do that and we're just losing money and losing money. And finally, after about 3 months, we said, "Man, we got to be out." And through the process, we lost several $100s, but we didn't care at that point. We just wanted to be out of the business. So not all of us are good with business ventures. And maybe that's the 1 talent guy. Maybe he's like, "Man, if I try to do something with that money again, if I try to double it, I'm going to lose money. So instead of doing that, I'm just going to hide what the master gave to me so I don't lose it. And then I can give it back to him. And let's give this guy some credit. He returned the talent to the master. He gave back everything that the master had entrusted. So why? Why is the master so displeased? Why is the 1 talent guy condemned?" Well, I think it's important for us to understand the attitude the servants had towards the master. Now, the master had entrusted a great responsibility to each of the servants. And the 1st 2 servants, they are eager to fulfill their responsibility. We see that in verses 15 and 16. Their attitude is like, "Yes, man, let's do this. The master has entrusted this much to us. Awesome. Let's be faithful. Let's serve him well. Let's do all we can to honor the master with what he has given us." And so they understood that they had a purpose, and that purpose was to serve the master faithfully. They had a deep respect for him. They wanted to serve him well. Anyone ever had a really good boss? Yeah. Anyone ever had a not so good boss? Ooh, more not so good bosses than good bosses. Anyone ever been the not so good boss at times? Yeah. Now our attitude towards our bosses, our relationship with them, with those whom we report to, it makes a big difference, doesn't it? In how we go about our work. If you have a bad attitude towards your boss, most of the time you're just going to give a half-hearted approach to fulfilling your responsibilities. And we see that with the third servant. You see, he has a completely different attitude than the first two servants. He comes reluctantly to his master in verse 24, and he says this, "I knew that you were a hard man." So what he does is he misjudges the master's character. He's afraid of him. And he made up his mind that he wasn't going to serve the master even before the talent was given. And so this third servant, he failed to recognize who the master truly was and his identity as a servant of the master. And because of that, he gives into selfishness, he gives into fear, and he decides to play it safe. I came across a great quote in one of the commentaries. You'll see it on the screen. It says this, "The third servant distrusted and misjudged his master badly. He was not guilty of doing too little, of not being faithful enough. He did nothing and was utterly unfaithful to his identity and to his master. The first two servants, by contrast, accepted both their identity and their calling and acted accordingly. Both received the same reward." So why was the third servant treated so harshly? It's because he rejected his own master. You see, he failed to understand who the master was. And in that, he wronged the master by his actions and by his words, and he did not take seriously the responsibility that was given to him. Now let's finish our text here, picking up in verse 28. Jesus is talking about the third servant. He says this, "So take the talent from him," that's the third servant, "and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." All right, not a very chipper way to end the story, right? Doesn't have a very happy ending. We need to handle with care. We need to take seriously the responsibility God has entrusted to us. All right, so on a practical level for you and me, what does this mean for us today? Well, again, the master in the story is Jesus, right? And he's gone on this journey, and that journey that he goes on refers to the time period in which Jesus ascends into heaven and until he returns in glory. And we are the servants. And as followers of Jesus, we've been given responsibility. We are called to serve him. We are called to live for him, not ourselves. And so really a key point, a key application for us is that this is a call to faithfulness and a warning against unfaithfulness. I love what Klein Snodgrass says. You'll see it on the screens. He says this, "The parable is not telling us how to obtain salvation." So this parable isn't do more, do more, do more, do more so that God is pleased with you, so that you can earn his favor, so that you can earn salvation. No, for it is by grace you have been saved. So please hear me, this parable is not about works righteousness, not about earning our salvation. He continues, "It is calling us to commitment to the one who truly is king and to faithfulness to his purposes." Salvation is free. We believe that, right? Amen? We believe that, right, church? Yeah, salvation is free. It's a free gift given to all who place their hope and trust in Jesus as Lord and Savior. So salvation is free. However, it isn't cheap. It's not cheap. You see, a great price was paid on the cross for each and every one of us. And as a people who've been redeemed, as a people who've been rescued from sin and death, as a people who've been brought from darkness into light, we are called to be servants of the Master Jesus, the one who paid the price for us. We are his. We belong to him. I love 1 Corinthians 6, which says this, you are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. In other words, honor God with how you live. And yes, Jesus is kind. He is. Amen to that. Yes, he is compassionate. Yes, he is gracious. Yes, he is merciful. But he is also our master who has given us a great responsibility. And he calls us to be faithful to him. All right, so back to this idea of the talents, because I even got some questions after the first service. Someone was like, I don't know what my talent is. I think I'm only a one talent person. Someone said that to me. they were actually really serious, and so I prayed with them after the service. And here's the thing, we can get so caught up and like, why am I not a five? Am I like a 3.5? Could I please at least be a 2, right? And we can just play this game. Listen, there's only one Michael Jordan, right? There's not going to be another Michael Jordan. I know there's this great debate right now, LeBron James, Michael Jordan. In my book, Michael Jordan wins every single time. You want to know why? 1998, Game 6, NBA Finals. Debate is done. Enough said. So there is no other Michael Jordan, right? Five-talent guy. Not all of us are five-talent people. We're not all Billy Graham. We're not all Francis Chan. We are not all going to write a Dr. David Jeremiah study Bible. That is not our calling. That is not our mission. God has gifted us. He's created each of us differently. He's given us different gifts, abilities, talents. And each servant received talents according to his ability. So hear me this morning. Please don't play this game. Am I a one talent? Could I at least maybe be a half? Could I get a little bit? No, don't play that. Listen, God has created you. He's gifted you the way you are for a specific reason. And again, the amount that was given to the servants isn't ultimately what matters. Here's what matters. Each servant was given the same responsibility. What was that? To make the most. To make the most of what God had, of what the master had given them. And that's what we're called to do. To make the most of what Jesus has entrusted to us. I love what Jeffrey Gibbs says. Here's this quote, and I put this in your sermon notes this morning. Do not forget who your master is. And do not forget who you are, the servant of the master. As you wait for his return, serve him. He has entrusted to you a life of relationships and opportunities and resources. Use your life for him and his will. So here's my final question for us this morning. It's this, what has God entrusted to you in this season? Like now, today, not in the future, but now. What has God entrusted to you? What has the master given you? Are you being faithful? Are you being a wise manager? Or are you just letting those opportunities, those abilities, those gifts, those talents, are you just letting them hide away in a closet, in a basement, thinking, there's no real worth. There's no real purpose to them. Hope Church, please hear me this morning. Don't bury. Do not bury. Don't hide away what God has entrusted to you to use for his purposes. So let's talk about this practically just for a few minutes. When it comes to the workplace, for those of us who work, I know many of us in here are working. All right, what has God entrusted to you in the workplace? Are you being faithful to carry out your responsibilities? Think about this for a moment. Is your job just a job to help pay the bills, or is it an opportunity to use the gifts, the passions, the abilities God has given you to serve others well and to point others to Jesus? You see, if we could see our places of work as opportunities God has given us to advance his kingdom here on earth, to be salt and light, how might that change our attitudes and our view of work? What about family, relationships? God has entrusted them to us, has he not? For those of you who are parents, grandparents, are you fulfilling the responsibility God has given you? Listen, your kids, your grandkids, they are gifts. They are gifts God has entrusted to you. Have you taken seriously the reality that God has entrusted your kids or your grandkids into your care, not somebody else's? He gave them to you. And are you taking every opportunity to instill in them the truth of God and his word, to love your kids well, to disciple them as God calls you to? Or is your attitude towards your children, your grandchildren, they're all right. No one invested in me. Why am I going to invest in my kids, right? They'll make it. They'll be fine. Parents, grandparents, be faithful. Be a wise manager of what God has entrusted to you. What about for those of you who aren't married? For those of you who have no kids? Listen, God's given you friends. He's given you a community. They are your family. Are you investing in those friendships? Are you seeking ways to serve your friends, to pray for them, to encourage them? Or are your friendships just about you and what you can get? Be a wise manager. Be faithful to the friendships God has entrusted to you. And finally, when it comes to ministry and serving others, and here's where we'll land the plane this morning. 1 Corinthians 12, right? It talks about the different gifts God has entrusted to his church, the believers. That's you. God has given each of us different gifts. For some, it's gifts of hospitality. For some, it's gifts of service. For some, it's teaching. For some of you, your gift is working with youth and children. For others, it's gifts of music. For others of you, it's baking cookies on Sunday morning. Hallelujah to those who have that gift, right? For others, again, acts of service. For others of you, it's visiting folks. It's gifts of evangelism. It's discipleship. Can I speak to the students? For just one moment. For those of you who are sixth grade and up, where are you guys? Can I see you guys for a moment? All right. Listen, you guys, God's given you gifts. Do you believe that? He's given you talents. He's gifted you the way you are for a moment, for a reason. And so here's my encouragement to you guys. Don't play the Snapchat, Instagram game. You know what I'm talking about? Where you hop online and you start, you're like, what? How come he's doing this? Oh, why does she look like that? Why does he have all this success? I mean, why do they have, listen, you start playing that game, you're missing out on what God has given you here and now. And I love what Stevens is doing with the students. He's put together this leadership team, and it's been so fun to see our youth begin to take ownership and serve and plan these events, right? Many of you have invested in younger children. My children, I mean, some of those kids, my kids love you. Some of my kids are even starting to talk like some of you, all right? That's how much they really like you. I'm like, oh, I know where that came from, right? But students, thank you. Use the gifts. Whatever it is, some of you are gifted musically, some of you academically, for some of you it's sports. Some of you, you love working with kids. Awesome. Whatever God has gifted you with, use it to serve others and to point them to Jesus. Please hear me. Don't spend your life, students, because I didn't understand this till I was 18. Actually, I was probably more like 20. Don't spend your life wishing you were someone else. Don't do that. Listen, when you do that, you bury the gift. You bury the talents God has given you. And to all of us, God has entrusted different gifts. He's entrusted to us different abilities. And one of the ways his kingdom is advanced, one of the ways his will is accomplished, is when each of us does our part. It's when we use the gifts, the abilities, the skills, the passions we have to serve others and to serve the needs of the church. And as one of the pastors here, I just want to say this. Man, we have people serving in all kinds of areas. We have children who are serving. We have youth who are serving. We have young adults who are serving. Adults, seniors. I mean, there's so many ways that people serve. I probably don't even know half of it. And so as a pastor here, I just want to say thank you. We appreciate you. Your master appreciates you. Well done to many of you. Well done. Thank you for serving. Now here's my kind of challenge / encouragement. There's more work to be done, is there not? You see, I believe there's more God wants to accomplish here at Hope Church. There's more he wants to accomplish in our communities, in our neighborhoods, in our places of work, in our schools, here in North Minneapolis. Let's continue to serve faithfully, amen? Let's continue to serve our master well. Don't bury the gifts. Don't bury the passions. Don't bury the abilities, the talents God has given you. Use them to serve others, to serve the church, and to advance God's kingdom. I want to close with this quote this morning. It's from Jeffrey Gibbs. He wrote a great commentary on Matthew 25. And this is really my prayer for us this morning. Please hear this. Again, I included this in your sermon notes. You'll see it on the screens. In the end and at the end, so that's when Jesus returns, it matters only that Christ is my master who has purchased me, and I have been his servant. He entrusted to me things that I was able to work with for his glory. Now hear this. If I keep my eyes on the master, that's Jesus. If I keep my eyes on Jesus, then I will remember to be his servant and to live that way. So Hope Church, may that be true of us. May we keep our eyes on our master, Jesus. And may we live for him. May we serve him faithfully. Let's pray. Father, right now, I want to pray for those people who maybe are struggling to figure out what their talent is. Father, we live in such a culture of comparison. We could spend half our day wishing we were someone else, wishing we had this or wishing we had that. Father, would you help us stop playing the comparison game? And Lord, would you bring to mind those gifts, those opportunities, those talents, those skills you've given us? Father, would you help us? Would you help us to be faithful, to serve you well? I pray for those in places of work where maybe it's difficult right now. Where they don't have that good boss, their relationship isn't good, Father, would you help them be salt and light? Would you help them see that you've given them a responsibility? Lord, in our families, may we fulfill the responsibilities you've given us with our friendships, Father, here at church, with all that you have entrusted to us. Father, may we use it to serve you well. And most importantly, Jesus, may we keep our eyes on you, the author, the perfecter of our faith. It's for a beautiful name that we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Do you stand?